Welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. The three keys to your success is just moments away. Here's your host, Brian Kelly.
Hey, hey, welcome to the Mind Body Business Show special edition. Very special edition because of our guest expert that you're going to meet in just moments from now. This man is amazing. I cannot wait to introduce you. Before I do that, real quickly, the Mind Body Business Show. What is that all about? Well, in my coming up on 54 years on this earth, I've gotten a lot of life experience and I've learned from a lot of mentors, some incredible thought thinkers, that was a good word, forward thinkers, and amazing individuals that I have come across. And I found that there's a pattern to success. It's continually repeating itself over and over and over. And the first is mind, and that's where the foundation of your entire life is set. And when I say mind, it's not just what you're thinking consciously, it's also what is happening subconsciously. And that's a topic that can take a couple of weeks, and I would love to address that at some other time. But we're talking about ways to reprogram your mind at a subconscious level that are scientifically proven. They work. It's using something called the science of success, primarily NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And it's an amazing way to set the foundation for your life, to change the state, to change your life for the better instantly with processes that take less than 7 minutes a piece to get through. And they have lifelong, permanent, lasting change. I know I'm a product of the product, and now I am certified to do just that. Body, that is about taking care of your body, nutrition, exercise. The thing is, if your mind and body, they're a team. And more importantly, the mind and body, they are your team. Now, if you have a team and one of the players on that team is not really pulling their weight and they're kind of falling back, well, what happens to the team as an entirety? Well, it starts to also reduce in its productivity, in its optimal level of peak performance. It's down. So your mind and body, they are yours. They are part of your body. If you're not operating at a peak level of performance in both areas, if you haven't weeded the garden of your mind and pulled out those weeds, those negative self-thoughts, those limiting beliefs, those fears, those resistance thoughts that keep you from moving forward, well, then you may not be operating at a peak level performance as a team. Even if your body, if you're exercising and you're feeding yourself with high-octane fuel, good food, but you're not taking care of your mind, then you're still not potentially operating at the peak level that you can operate at, and vice versa. If you've got your mind all set, you've pulled those weeds out of the garden, you've gone through the proven processes, but your body, you haven't taken time to take care of your body, well, the same thing happens. It's still bringing down that team. And then there's business. There's sales, marketing, there's systems, and building teams. And once you've mastered all three of those or four of those areas of business, then you're really doing well and operating at a peak level of performance on the business front. So this show is all about helping you to find ways to operate at your optimal level of peak performance on each and every one of those three pillars of success, the mind, body, business. And tonight is no different. Tonight we are going to be looking into primarily the business side of things because we have a resource, I've come across a resource that I just cannot not share. It is amazing. It is phenomenal. It's a game changer for anyone that's in business, an entrepreneur, small business that could use some help. Well, this is the solution that I had been looking for and didn't know it existed for many, many years. And now it's here. And I can't wait to share it with you. Before we go into that, one of the other things that's really, really important I found through a mentor many years ago was he gave me this advice. He said, Brian, if people in general would just do this one thing, then they become insanely rich. Just this one thing. And I'm like, okay, tell me, I'm ready. So he turned around, he's in this large corner office, he's the CEO, multimillionaire of a supplement business, and he turned around and there was this massive file cabinet, floor to ceiling with two doors. He reached to the two doors, he looked back at me, he opened them up, and from floor to ceiling, shelf after shelf, there were these books. And he said, all everyone has to do is read, and they will become insanely rich. The books were on personal development, on business, anything that would help in the genre and the area of getting you farther, faster. And I just remember thinking in that moment, like, that can't be true. I mean, it can't be that simple. This doesn't even cost anything. I mean, a few bucks for a book, or you go to the library and get it for free. So I made a big mistake back then, and I just snubbed it. I did not partake. I did not start reading right away. Thankfully, years later, another mentor of mine not only said the same thing, but he showed by example. Every time I saw him, I worked with him on a weekly basis, shared the stage with him many times. This guy was always reading. He had headphones on, he's listening, or he's got a book open, or it's open on his computer. Always reading. And so finally, you know, the knock got a little louder, and I finally woke up and said, okay, I'm going to answer that door. I'm going to open it up and start reading voraciously. And so I did, and I began reading using something called Audible, which is an audio delivery system for books. Many of you have heard of it from Amazon. I just found I could absorb the information much better by listening versus holding a book open and reading, because I would tend to drift off and go to sleep if I did that. And so this amazing avenue here, this platform came across that we can use to listen to books. And in listening to these books, Audible gives you the ability to actually set bookmarks as you're listening. So if you hear something, you're driving along, your hands aren't, you know, you should be watching the road, which I do, I can just tap this one icon and instantly it stores a bookmark because it's a place of interest that I want to come back to later. And so over the course of months and years, I've amassed a library of about 40 books. And what we're going to do now is shift over and just play a snippet of one of those bookmarks in a section I appropriately call Bookmarks.
Bookmarks. Born to read. Bookmarks. Ready. Steady. Read. Bookmarks. Brought to you by ReachYourPeakLibrary.com.
There you see Reach Your Peak Library on the site. And by the way, if you're watching this show live, please just stay with us. Take notes. Write down things that you want to go check out later, like ReachYourPeakLibrary.com. Don't go clicking over there and looking at that while you're listening. I kid you not, you do not want to miss this special guest expert that's coming on in just a few minutes. I promise. He's coming up right around the corner. And so what I did was I put together this amazing website. Not for the purpose of making money or anything like that. I just started reading voraciously. And I amassed in this website are about 40 books or so, and I'm actually two or three behind. I need to add more. I'm reading constantly. And what I did was I only put in those books that made an impact on my life, either personally or professionally in business. And so you can see that it's just scrolling on and on and on. And that's there for you. You just click the button. If you like Audible, you click the Audible button. If you like hardcover, click that button. Whatever was available, I searched it out, and I just put the link there to go right to Amazon so you could quickly go to books that were vetted at least by one other person that had already read them, rather than guessing and wasting time potentially on books that may not have an impact. That's why I put it together. And so what I want to do is move over to a bookmark of one of those specific books that I read. And it's very apropos for this particular guest speaker that's coming on, our guest expert. And so what I want to do is just play about a minute snippet. This is Michael Gerber from the E-Myth. Let's take a quick listen, and then we'll move on to our next segment with our guest expert spotlight. Here we go.
Chapter 4, Adolescence, Getting Some Help. As governments, we stumble from crisis to crash program, lurching into the future without plan, without hope, without vision. Alvin Toffler, The Third Wave. Adolescence begins at the point in the life of your business when you decide to get some help. There's no telling how soon this will happen, but it always happens, precipitated by a crisis in the infancy stage. Every business that lasts must grow into the adolescent phase. Every small business owner who survives seeks help. What kind of help do you, the overloaded technician, go out to get? The answer is as easy as it is inevitable. Technical help. Someone with experience. Someone with experience in your kind of business. Someone who knows how to do the technical work that isn't getting done.
And we'll stop it right there. So it's all about getting help. Getting help for you and your business. If you're struggling, if you're a solopreneur and you're going it alone, or maybe you just don't have enough help, well, that's what this special edition is all about. And without further ado, let's jump on over and let's introduce our special guest expert. Here we go, the special guest expert spotlight.
It's time for the Guest Expert Spotlight. Savvy, skillful, professional, adept, trained, big league, qualified.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. None other than Mo Abbas, the CEO of Gen M, the most amazing, amazing company that and service that I have come across in a long time. Oh my goodness, Mo, I'm so happy to have you on. I want to do a quick introduction so people get a quick background of you. You have achieved a lot in a very short period of time. You're an amazing entrepreneur, an amazing person. At 19 years old, this man, Mo, founded his first two companies. Since then, he has founded or co-founded over a dozen startups, which over the last 10 years have employed thousands in industries ranging from real estate, construction, web development, marketing, and mobile applications. He is an inquisitive explorer with a long track record of success. At 26 years, he won the NKBA 30 Under 30 Award. And I'll let him explain that in a moment. I did do the research. I know what that is, Mo. I promise. And he was the youngest recipient ever of the OBJ 40 Under 40 Award. Again, another one I'll have him describe. He has also won the Immigrant Entrepreneur Award from the city of Ottawa. Yes, Ottawa, Canada. He is coming to us live from Canada. He is the youngest ever board director for both the Ottawa Chamber of Commerce and the Better Business Bureau of Eastern Ontario. And he is a co-founder of the Canadian General Contractors Group of Companies. In 5 years, he led the group from a basement office into Canada's leading residential design build company with $20 million in sales and design centers across the country. Whew, I'm tired now. That was amazing. Mo, how are you doing, my friend? If you don't mind, would you let people know from your own words what makes you tick, who is Mo, and what have you been up to lately?
Thanks for the kind intro, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
My name is Mo Abbas. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Gen M, which is what I'm currently focused on, my current mission right now. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a teenager, and you know, I have a background that just kind of exactly the same ethos as you, Brian. You know, you train your mind, you train your body, and you work on your business. And I don't know where you want me to start, how far back, or just, you know, tell kind of my personal story, or just jump right into business lessons. I'll let you
guys.
Yeah,
I mean, I think people would be curious a little bit of how you got your start into your rise to success. I mean, what were some of the common things that you found that helped you get there at such a young age?
So, you know, at a young age, I grew up the son of immigrants. We grew up very poor. And my parents did not have the experience to really teach me anything about business or making money for that sense, because they just didn't know that knowledge. And the education system certainly doesn't teach you that. So I was pretty much blind, let's say. I didn't have that knowledge. I didn't even know it existed as a child. I came across that realization later in life, and I'll get to that. But there is something I always did have, and that was curiosity. I was a very curious child, always asking questions and learning. And I wasn't afraid to work hard. And that's something that's kind of stuck with me throughout my whole life, is hard work and the ability to learn, you know, being a curious child. So when I was 17 years old, you know, an event happened in my life. It was a personal event. You know, you get your heart broken. And at the same time, I also got beat up by a bunch of other boys at the time. And that really got me to reflect. And I think that a catalyst is a very powerful thing. There's a few things that could really be catalysts in your life. You know, obviously something related to your health could change your life very quickly. Something related to your emotions, so how you feel, you know, getting your heart broken as a young man could make you change and reflect deeply. And getting beat up could make you reflect and think about, you know, what are you doing with your life? And at that time frame, I really went through some deep reflections and was not happy with my life and was no longer going to accept the man that I was. I'm the same man I was as a boy, ultimately, because that never really changes. But you just kind of grow and you evolve. So I took that opportunity and I got lucky, actually. I got offered a few contracts to work in telecom across Canada and the U.S. And I took those contracts, and I was 18 years old at the time. And I was able to make a lot of money for somebody who was very poor growing up. I was getting paid very well and working a lot of hours. And it really gave me a different perspective because I had never really left Ottawa. It's been my hometown, never really had an opportunity to go anywhere. Didn't really see what was out there in the world. So when I was in BC, I really got to connect with nature. I was in the deep forest, got to really find out who I am. And then I got moved to Palm Beach in the Miami area. And that really opened my eyes to wealth. I had never actually seen what significant wealth looks like. And here I am, 18 years old, knocking on doors of these massive homes with yachts in the backyard. And you'd have this old man come and answer the door, and you know, with all the money in the world, but it wasn't any different than I was, really. And that made me think, you know, what really makes somebody very successful different from somebody not so successful? And, you know, I came back to Ottawa with this new perspective that I didn't have when I left. And, you know, traveling does that sometimes, especially if you do extended traveling. And, you know, I'm a really big believer that if you want to change your perspective, really the easiest way to change your state, your mind, your perspective is to change your environment. You literally physically change where you go. And I did that, and it gave me this enlightenment. And I came back to Ottawa with that. And so what I did then is I had always been a voracious reader. So I would read a lot of fantasy books. Obsessively, in fact. I would read them sun up to sun down, like nonstop. So I changed from reading fantasy books to nonfiction books. And I had a goal in mind, and that was to really sculpt my mind, my body, and build a significant business. The body aspect of it, I had already been making a lot of progress on. So, you know, as a teenager, 16 years old, I was overweight. I had no sense of style, you know, and I was just never went to the gym. I didn't even know how to work out. So I taught myself how to work out. And then by 18, I had the body that I had, it was a ridiculous body for, you know, I say this now, but as I get older, but I was super fit, essentially. And that stuck with me, by the way, and I'm still a fit dude. But I really focused on the body aspect of it because I believe that, you know, that your body is the easiest thing you can control. You can see immediate benefits within like a month or two of training your body and improvements. And it increases your abilities. The body is an outlet for the mind. So with this new body, I was able to do things I simply could not do before. Work longer, faster, stronger. And from there, I had the body aspect doing a good job on. I had mentors as well. Mentors are very important. You don't have to I had mentors at the gym that I would talk to sometimes, but my main mentor for the body aspect was Arnold Schwarzenegger. I just followed him and read everything he had and followed his methodology and used him as a mentor, although I had never really met the man before. And so here I was at 18, I'm back in Ottawa now, and, you know, I'm like, well, what do I do with my life, you know, and I started setting goals, very simple things, right? Now it's kind of, for me, it's like it's obvious, I do goals all the time now, but back then it was like this new thing, and I wrote them down. In fact, I wrote them on my mirror, so I would see them every day, and I still remember them. It was pipe power, I called them. Personal, intellectual, political, and economical goals. And I really started building my knowledge base up because, you know, if you're going to be a creator and you're going to build a business and you're going to be a better decision maker, you need to have a bigger database that you can easily retrieve information from. Now we have Google, so it's kind of like an external mind for you. Back then, I didn't have Google, but even still, the act of searching is not the same as having it in your mind that you can quickly reference and make connections with. So I started building my database. I didn't go to school. I couldn't afford to go to school, nor did I believe in the education system. It just didn't make any sense to me, you know, at the time. So what did I do? At 18, I went to Chapters every day. So it's a bookstore. And I would spend 8 hours a day in Chapters. And I took my love of reading. And I started reading books on psychology, on self-help, on business, on a lot of the books you actually showed are books that I read as well. And just building that database. And then you kind of start seeing common patterns among the knowledge that you're gaining, right? Yes. And from there, it just gave me more confidence. I was able to do things that, or I knew things that kind of opened my eyes out, right? And when you start believing something, whether you think you can or not, you're usually right. So I started believing that I could do more and I could be more. And from there, I started a landscaping business. And, you know, as a 12-year-old child, I used to go door to door selling chocolates to help my parents with a little bit of extra income. And I was very good at that. I was a very good salesperson. That's one of my core competencies now. So I did that again, but I sold landscaping at a significantly higher price. It was really easy for me to do, and I was already fit. I could do the work on the spot, and I was making like $300 to $500 a day in cash. As an 18-year-old, that's pretty good. And I was working, you know, I was out of Chapters or going door-to-door selling. And saved up even more money that way. And then eventually I built a crew. And then eventually, you know, that grew into a business. And then from there, by age 19, 20, I sold those companies to a competitor, a local competitor. Because why did I sell them? I said, you know, how big is this market? What impact am I really going to make? How much money could I do? I started asking questions that couldn't really be answered with the current business I was in. So I pivoted out of landscaping into construction. And I've always been, my default mode is yes, do it. Let's do it. I'm an action kind of person. You know, a lot of people, they kind of get paralyzed in fear. I just recommend to just do it. Nike had probably the best slogan ever invented. Yes. When they said, just do it. It's genius. That's what I did. You know, I started a business. I just started hiring people and I defaulted to yes a lot of the times. And that opened up all these opportunities to me that before I just maybe fear or whatever it may have been, just kind of closed my mind to those opportunities. And one of them was, I had a buddy working at a gym. He's like, hey, Mo, they're looking to renovate this gym. Do you want to do this contract? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I knew nothing about construction. I didn't even know what drywall was. I'm like, yeah, drywall, you know, on the site meeting. How do you not know about drywall? So I took that contract on, and it was a brand new learning experience. Look, when you got to really optimize two things, you know, your work ethic, but that can be capped. Like there's only a certain amount of work you could do, right? The other one is your ability to learn. And then when you learn, you don't really have a cap. Like you're kind of unlimited what you can achieve. You know, there's certain ways to things you could do, methods and techniques to achieve more in a shorter time frame, which I can go through some of them with you. So I started, you know, and that's always been my guiding principle. The first one's integrity. The second one's hard work. And the third one is learning. So I learned about construction and it was very painful. Very, 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 very painful. Like I can't explain how difficult that was. You know, I remember here I was, 19 years old in this basement of a gym, and it was like 2 a.m. I'm by myself, and I'm demolishing a cinder block wall, and then I'm inhaling this dust, and my hand's bleeding, and I'm just like exhausted, and it was just like, you know, what am I doing? Why am I even doing this thing? But I've never really been a quitter. That's not really who I am. You only fail when you quit. Otherwise, you're still in the game. A lot of people don't realize that. I don't know if you ever watched New England comeback when Tom Brady came back from what the entire football community would have said was an impossible comeback. He didn't quit. You know, now he's on my wall where I'm not even a football fan, but now I have Tom Brady on my wall because the man didn't quit and he won.
Yeah,
which is a serious thing. Winning is not a joke. It's a serious thing. I'm a big competitor as well, which we can cover a little bit later on. So, you know, I'm in this, it's 2 a.m. I got through that day. And then, you know, I finished that contract. Oh, I mean, I didn't really finish it. I didn't get paid for the contract. I lost my shirt on that contract. Yeah. I lost a lot of the money that I made, you know, in the doing the contract work and the landscaping companies. But I learned. I started learning a lot more about construction, and I started building a network, and I started, you know, from there focusing on a better niche, which was residential design build. And then you just keep learning and learning and learning about this business. And I actually picked a model, a competitor in the city of Ottawa, and I started modeling them. And that works really well, by the way. If you're starting a new business, yeah, you really should model somebody first. So Steve Jobs said this, and I'm pretty sure he stole it from Picasso. And he said that good artists copy, great artists steal. Right?
Yes.
So they had a whole bunch of, this competitor had a whole bunch of smart, smart things in their business. And we took those smart things and we made them our own. And, you know, here I was, you know, 19, 20 years old at the time, in this construction company, and I started finding what the holy grail is in any new business, and that's a product market fit, which I'll cover in a little more detail as well. So I was starting to focus on residential design build, and I'm building a product, this construction service, to serve the market of homeowners who are looking to renovate their homes. And as I refined that product and built the team, my business grew significantly. And there was a few things that I did that I really focused on. Sales and marketing were the two biggest differentiators for me because, you know, in the industry I was in, there was a lot of old tradesmen, you know, construction is an old industry. And I didn't know that much about construction. I couldn't compete with them on their core competencies. I just couldn't do it. But I knew sales a lot better than them. And I knew marketing a lot better than them. So that's what I did. I built a sales and marketing machine, and I hired experts to do the actual construction part. And, you know, at 20 years old, it was me at Starbucks at the time. You know, I did $1 million from Starbucks by myself. And then from there, I started hiring some of my friends, my childhood friends, who all went to school. And now we're graduated and looking for jobs. And, you know, we started with this. We got a basement office, and then we took over the whole office. And then very quickly, we started expanding across the country to Ottawa, from Ottawa to Vancouver, to Toronto, to Calgary. And I was just sending my friends out to open up these offices. And it was kind of like a magical experience where, like, you know, you're building a significant business with your childhood friends and everyone's winning. I don't know if anyone has experienced that before. I'm experiencing that now with Gen M, and I have to go through the same trials and tribulations, similar anyway. In tech anyways, as I did in construction. So there is no easy way. That's what I'm figuring out. You know, there's no magic bullet. There's no, like, even if you have the knowledge and the experience, you can't get around hard work. It's just, I haven't been able to do it.
That is amazing. And thank you. Man, I wanted to hear your life story earlier. We were talking right before we came on the air, and I so appreciate you sharing that with us. I'm always deeply curious. You talked about curiosity being a key core element. I mean, so I hope everyone is writing notes that's watching and listening. I'm actually hosting this show, and I just wrote all of these. So if you're not writing notes, start now. Because he's dropping nuggets of wisdom and gold that, again, the patterns keep coming up over and over and over. And hard work. Hard work is always in there. Sales and marketing were the two of the biggest keys. Work ethic, talks about that again. That came up quite a bit. Continually learning, that was a huge point. I know a gentleman recently that is becoming my mentor, who's 64 years old, and he acts like he's in his 20s with his energy and vitality and his willing and drive to learn. He's always learning. And he's very successful already. And what a boring life it would be if we stopped. Don't you agree, Mo? I mean, what if you actually reached the absolute pinnacle, which I don't believe exists, by the way, but you reached that pinnacle that maybe you defined for yourself, and you say, okay, good, I can cash it in. I'm just going to swing on my hammock and sip on umbrella drinks and maybe go golfing now and then, but I'm done. I'm cashing it in. It's like, I could not imagine that. I can, you can take a break, right? But not live your life that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not fulfilling. You're very similar to all of the entrepreneurs I've interviewed and myself, as far as you have that drive. You just have that drive to keep going, to work hard. And I love how you're just flat out right there saying, it takes work. There is no magic pill. Again, if there were a magic pill, again, to me, that would be boring. What fun is there with no challenge? You know, you're competitive, like you said. So am I, man. I played sports my whole youth life, and I'm very competitive, man. I want to win. I want to win, baby, all the time. And that's fun. Competition is fun. The body is an outlet for the mind. Man, just nuggets and nuggets of wisdom with this. And the fact that you just 8 hours a day reading. So yep. There's a common theme here. Every single one of the entrepreneurs I've had on this show, bar none, are avid, voracious readers. And even those that you might think are too busy to read, they somehow seem to find a way to do it, don't they? And one recommended resource is, if you don't use Audible, you can use it, and you can listen to it in your car when you're doing nothing other than probably listening to music. And you can get through a lot of books, believe me. It's amazing how fast you can read through books. How quickly, but still retain the information by just listening. So it's like a millionaire mansion on wheels is what it is, what your car becomes, because you're getting the knowledge you need.
I actually use Audible a lot. I used to read a lot of books. I used to read about a book every day or two. Now it's about every week or so. And I consume my books almost exclusively through Audible right now.
Yeah.
And you put on 1.5 speed, depending on the book.
Yep.
And there's a couple of things I've done more recently. Early on, just consume whatever you is somewhat relevant and build your database up. Now I'm very selective on what I read. It's things that will be applicable to my business now. Things that, I actually try to practice things that are coming up in the book. So before, I just consume and have all this knowledge, and then maybe sometime in the future I'll use it. But now it's like a very specific type of knowledge or problem I'm trying to solve. And then I actually spend a lot of time finding the right resource to learn from, so the right book or author. And then I go through that book meticulously, and as I go through it, I implement the strategies within my business. One of them, for example, is Measure What Matters, is what I'm reading now, and I'm implementing OKRs from that. It's a little bit more, it's kind of on a high, it's probably not for everybody, but for my business, it's a little more relevant, for sure. Learning as well, there's so many, and one thing I've learned as well is there's a lot of methods and techniques you could use so you could get more leverage in your life and in your learning abilities. One of them is actually Audible, right? So I have it, as soon as I step in the car, it turns on. I don't have to play it, it just turns on. So I don't have to think of like, oh, I'm gonna listen to Audible, it just turns on, right? There's a whole, again, methodology about creating habits. This is something people don't pay attention to, and I actually pay a lot of attention to this. whenever I want to learn something new or acquire a new skill, specifically if I want to acquire a new skill, actually, incorporate an improvement, a level up in my life, you have to consciously think about your life and but where and how you could implement the training and the learning for that new skill. I'll give you an example. I wanted to learn piano. Okay. I like piano. So what did I do? I found a really great app that teaches you piano. Okay, great. So I have an app that teaches me piano. When am I going to practice piano? So people, they don't get to that level, right? They're like, oh, I want to learn piano. I'll get a music teacher. And it's like, okay, or get an app and I'll practice, you know, piano. But I had to actually look at my schedule for a long time, and I thought about when would I be able to carve. First, how much time do I need to learn piano? I need about 30 minutes a day. Okay, great. Where am I going to carve 30 minutes? Oh, I can carve it in the morning, and I can practice in the office, but I don't have a piano in the office. Okay, well, let's get a piano in the office. So I got a piano in the office. So now I come into the office, and I have other actually things that I'm trying to learn and build into my habits as well. And I come in the office and look, there's the piano right in front of me. And it's 8:30 when I structured my schedule to be here half an hour early. Well, guess what I'm doing? What am I going to do? I'm going to go practice the piano at that point. And I do that for 30 minutes, Monday to Friday. And now I can play reasonably well the piano. Just one example of a habit loop that I consciously built into my routine.
Yeah, and we talk about a similar topic. It's the exact same thing. It's one of discipline. And scheduling things into your life is part of that. But another word that comes into mind is prioritization. It's like, how important is it to you? Whatever that task may be, for you it's playing the piano. Well, it's so important to you that's the first thing you're going to tackle in the morning, get it done.
That's
so
the first thing.
Well, close. Well, once you get in the office, you see the piano, that it's there. But, you know, it's early in the morning to where you're not waiting till the last minute and then, oh, I can do it or not. But everyone's different. As long as you have the discipline and schedule it, that's the thing that, you know, one of the last things on earth. I started out my life as a corporate employee and everything was scheduled for you, right? And they told you what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And then as I transitioned into entrepreneurship, I thought, oh, great, now I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. And now I'm learning more and more all the time. It's just the opposite. You need to be even more scheduled, more regimented, more disciplined. The good news is, though, who gets to make up that schedule? I do. So that's the biggest game changer. So I've gotten in the habit of scheduling, and everything you're saying is ringing true. You know, it's get up, and hour by hour, I have a schedule every day of what I'm going to be doing the next day. I mean, down to taking a break and going and eating and everything I can possibly put in there. And I do the best I can to adhere to it. Don't always hit it perfectly, but I get a lot more done and it's a lot more productive. So everything you're saying is ringing so true, so true.
Jocko Willink had a book, Extreme Leadership. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, read that book. And discipline's one of the big things he talks about in that book. So I'm an extremely disciplined person. And I think every entrepreneur is extremely disciplined. I'm a little bit extreme in my discipline. Like I eat the same lunch every day, just to give you an idea. You know, for me, I wanted to do a meatless Monday, so I don't eat meat on Mondays, just for discipline. And obviously there's health benefits and environmental benefits to that. Another thing is time-restricted eating. I'm like, okay, I'm going to restrict my feeding time now. And then, you know, I did that. So, you know, I wake up at the same time every day. The first thing I do every morning, I get ready, and then I go to the sauna. And I spend 20 to 30 minutes in the sauna doing stretches, being mindful, and breathing exercises. Start the day right. It's a lot of work. It's hard work, man. Like going, waking up in the sauna and doing stretches, yoga in the sauna, with breathing exercises Monday to Friday without fail. You know, that requires a certain level of discipline. And then you come in, you practice piano, and you haven't even started the day, your work day yet, really, right?
Right.
So, you know, discipline is extremely important to success. Another thing is people need to know what they can and can't do. You know, I've seen so many people fail because it's just, you can't do it. It's just unrealistic. I become very, very good at knowing my own ability. You know, you got to really pay attention to yourself. You know, be mindful of your mind and body, what you can and can't do. You know, like, I know what foods make, how certain foods make me feel, right? People don't pay attention when they eat, right? Oh, why do I feel a little foggy, a little lighter, a little heavier? You know, my mind's not as clear. Oh, maybe the food has something to do with that, which is why I eat the same salad every single day, Monday to Friday, because it, I know the results it's going to get, right? But that's what you got to do if you want to win. And ultimately, as a business, it's about winning. I hate to say it, you know, but you got to win. First thing for me is mission. But I got to achieve my mission. And if I want to achieve my mission, I got to do everything possible to win for me and my team. You know, I compete every day. Every day of my life, I compete. Whether I go play basketball, pick up basketball, whether I go play a role and do jiu-jitsu, you know, or whether whatever competition, every single day I compete and I win. I don't just compete, actually. I win. Very important thing for me to compete and win. So, and that builds up mindset, right? Like, you know, I play basketball, for example, and I'm playing against these guys, and like, they're trying to win, but they're not trying hard enough. They don't have the same will I have. Yeah. They're better basketball players, but their will is not as strong as mine. They don't work as hard as me. They're not learning as quickly as me. Oh, that's your pocket. I'm going to stuff your pocket. You don't pay attention to my pocket, but I know your pocket, right? So, like, you learn about the game of basketball. Although my skills, I'm older now. I'm not, you know, as skilled as these young guys, but they can't win anymore.
That's so true. I can't say how many, I mean, in all the days I played sports, how many times I saw someone that I knew did not have the talent, you know, God-given talent at the level of the other players, but somehow that guy was always starting because they had the drive. They had that, what you're talking about. They put in the effort. They wanted to win. They wanted to play more than those that had the talent. They wanted it bad. And, that's what it's about. You got to want it. You got to want it bad.
And ultimately, you're competing in business, right? I have competitors, you know, yeah. And in my business, it could be a monopoly, right? Gen M could be a monopoly. Like, we're doing a significant thing. And in my other businesses, we have competitors, right? So what am I going to do? I can only do two things. I can outwork them. Okay. And there's a cap on that. Or I can outlearn them. I can outposition. It's called position before submission. So you really want to put yourself in the right position. And Robbins has state, story, strategy, which you're probably familiar with. So I'm really big on my state of mind. Every day I condition my state of mind. And I tell myself the story that I am this incredible, God-gifted entrepreneur, that I have this indomitable will, that no one shall stand against me, will prosper. And I believe it wholeheartedly. And I have a mirror that I look at that reflects this, and my goals that I look at that reflects this. And my team is as hungry as me, you know, and I put myself into forced functions, which is another technique where I have to deliver on the results because I either set a deadline that's known to the team. This is a forcing function. So, if you want to go to the gym, for example, or you know, the example, call your friend, tell them, let's go to the gym today at 5 p.m. Get the confirmation from them. Well, it's kind of hard for you to bail now if you told your friend you're going to meet them at 5 o'clock. So it forces you to hit that function. One technique that I use.
Accountability built in.
Yeah. Love a lot of little things like that. Eh? Like, there's so many. And as you get older, you start stacking, right? You start stacking these techniques and methods. And then eventually you become like a black belt in business. It's legitimate. You could get more and more knowledge. But you have to be able to practice these things. Eh? It's not just like, oh, I know how to, in theory, I know how business works. Like in theory, I know how to submit somebody in jiu-jitsu. Not really. You got to be able to do it.
Right.
That's why I love jiu-jitsu. It's because black belts are practitioners. You know, they actually are able to do the submissions. You cannot be the real black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's just not going to do it unless you're on that level.
Hey, when it comes to the topic of getting help, you've mentioned that several times, and that you've got, you know, you started with your high school buds, and then, you know, I'm sure that it's got to expand beyond that to scale a business bigger. And I wanted to bring this point toward what you're doing with Gen M, because it's that important for everyone to understand what's going on. How important would you say it is to have good employees for your success? I mean, how important that is that?
Your business is people. My business is people, ultimately. You know, the people build the products that you sell, the people service your clients. Jack Ma says, take care of your people and your people will take care of your clients, right? So I'm a big believer in that. And for me, what I have done is as a small business owner, just to give you, I was still do this now with Gen M actually, is I would bring on students into my business and I would train them, and grads and students. And then I'd end up hiring about a quarter of them into my business. And I brought them on as, you know, unpaid interns or volunteer interns or apprentices. And I would train them. And these are students, give you an idea. Like, these are people that would come to me, and I put up like a marketing internship ad, and I would get like 200 applicants or whatever it was. And nobody was hireable. They were not hireable at all. They didn't know anything about, they didn't have basic training even. And it was such a hassle to like coordinate that. But some of them begged to come work in our businesses, and being opportunistic small business owners, we ended up bringing them on board and training them. And we got a tremendous benefit from these students, and we ended up hiring a quarter of them. It was a fantastic way actually of finding talent. As we were growing, I was able to cherry pick the best students that we worked with. Yes. It was a quarter of my staff came from that method. And, you know, for us, it really gave us an edge over competition, because we didn't have the resources they had, right? The number one cost in a business is wages, number one cost. So if you're able to get a student to help you unpaid as part of their training, you know, that could go a really long way for a small business owner. And it went a long way for us. And then we ended up training them, and they ended up getting hired by us or leaving and getting jobs immediately after training with us. And we said, wait a second. These are students that are in school and they graduated and they spent all this money in 4 years. They were unhirable when they applied to our job. Now they train with us for 3 months and they're hireable now. Like, everyone's looking to hire these people. So we did a better job preparing them for the job market than the post-secondary education that they went through. Well, maybe there's something there, because there's a lot of people that have this problem. A lot of students have this problem. And I know, as a small business owner, the value that I'm getting from these students. So it makes sense for me. So, well, what if there was a way we could build a marketplace to make it easy to find these students and work with them? And what if, you know, we could set the rules up front that it's going to be unpaid because they're still in training? And, you know, and I'm going to give them the more structured training and feedback and guidance on the work they're doing. And it'll be related to their vocation. And it'll be 5-10 hours a week. So there's rules involved and max. So what if we could build this like marketplace to connect businesses and students and educational marketplace? On the business side, they get this help that they desperately need to grow their business. And on the student side, they get the experience they need that they desperately need to get into the job market. And that was kind of the start of Gen M. And we started with that idea and this vision, you know, that of creating a free education system. You know, that was the vision that anybody could access that would lead jobs.
It is the most brilliant concept I have ever seen. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on this show, Mo, was to lift it so that others can see it. This needs to be shouted from the rooftops to help not only business owners like myself, which it is helping. By the way, I do have an apprentice through Gen M, and I have a second one coming on in a week or so as the date of this show. And it's been a godsend. I cannot tell you. And I've told you this personally, Mo, that, you know, back I was considering going overseas to get a VA. I had connections to do that. And there were a couple things keeping me from pulling the trigger. And they weren't horrible things, but they were just a couple of things that were just, you know, making me resist that path. And one was, you know, while they may speak our language, and they speak it very well, there are still minor language differences. There are still translation problems on occasion. And the big one, though, for me was the time zone difference. And I'm specifically talking about the Philippines. Many wonderful people there work very, very hard. I didn't like going through this in a support ticket-like atmosphere. And by that, I mean, because of the time zone difference, if I gave them a task and they misunderstood the task and did something different, or the task was done incorrectly just outright, I wouldn't know it till I woke up the next morning. I'd have to then message them however I messaged them to let them know that we got to correct that, and they won't get to it till they wake up the next morning. So it's like a support ticket system where you have to wait a day or more to get a task complete. Well, with your brilliant system, from what I've seen, and I could be wrong, but most of the applicants, the apprentices that want to be apprentices are coming from the United States and Canada. I've seen a few from outside. The thing is, you as a business owner get to choose. I get excited about this. I'm getting passionate again, Mo. It's phenomenal. You get to choose. The thing that Gen M and Mo's company does is they match you to each other. And so when you enter your profile as a business owner, they are then taking that and matching it, kind of like a search engine. I call it like a matchmaking service for business owners and students. It's really that way. And I kid you not, the one that was on the top of my list, there was a list, a nice long list of candidates that matched my profile. The very first one was the one I ultimately I chose her in less than an hour after looking at the other profiles. I said, the first one was the one. And she's been my apprentice for over a month and a half, and she is rocking it. It's an amazing service. They are hungry. They are eager for knowledge. They are eager to beef up their resume so they can be more employable, or they want to get the skills necessary to become an entrepreneur or a consultant. It varies. And it's just such an amazing, amazing, 5 to 10 hours a week, so they're able to continue their studies if they're still doing that, or they get to continue doing their life, which everyone seems to have, by the way. It's amazing. And 10 hours may not seem like a lot, but it actually, my current apprentice is getting a ton done. Jessica, I love you, by the way, if you're watching. She's amazing. And 3 months, it sounds like a short period of time. It's been a month and a half, and it's going to be over too soon, in my opinion, just because I really enjoy working with her personally. But I get it. Let's not abuse the system. 90 days is plenty of time for them to acquire skills, to beef up their resume, to give it another shot in the marketplace to see what out there they can now go work for. They now have experience with a business that they can put on their resume. I mean, no one else does this, that, to my knowledge, Mo. And the other fact is VAs are very inexpensive, typically, across overseas. With your Gen M system, it's actually less than hiring a VA from the Philippines. It's just
a lot less.
Lot less, exactly. And we're going to talk about, if you don't mind, how business owners, we'll address them, how they can ultimately get your services for free for life. Would that be all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, we, so we have, you nailed it. We connect businesses with students. We're in the relationship business. Yeah. I'm a big believer of community and relationships. Ultimately, like I said, the people build their business. And you get matched with 100 plus students, you chat with the ones you like, and you find somebody you like. We have one-click labor contracts in the platform, so it's super easy to onboard your apprentice. It's like you found somebody in a day, they start the next Monday. Way easier than hiring somebody on salary or staff. And it's $49 a month to become a member of Gen M. This is a self-serve, you get matched with students, you chat with the ones you like. We have tools available. We're actually building a ton of tools right now to enable you to collaborate better with your apprentice, like checklists and progress reports and gradings and notifications when they're online, which will allow you to get way more out of your apprentice. That's in the pipeline right now too. And it's very, very affordable. $49 a month gets you approximately 40 hours of work from a student marketer. It's billed quarterly. You get one apprenticeship credit every quarter. You can choose to renew or not renew depending on where you are in your business. We're rolling out another product right now where it's more of a concierge, where we actually match you with the top 2% student in our platform. You have a dedicated account manager who helps you onboard with your student and build a little marketing plan for the 3 months. And this is for businesses who are a little bit more busy, maybe don't want to find a student marketer, You just, you know, want somebody who's a little more experienced, perhaps, and they get a little bit more of a concierge service. That's a different one-time fee for that. So we have these two options. Very, very, I don't know anything more affordable. Maybe it's out there. I haven't seen it. I spent a lot of time looking.
Well, so we're super pumped. Yeah. It's one thing to be affordable in its own right, but also to give the amount of value that I am getting for that affordability is just, you guys are way over delivering in my humble opinion. Please don't change that. it's phenomenal. Yeah, you get these eager people that, they're hungry. You know, we've been talking about that this entire show is you got to want it. You got to be hungry. Well, that's what you're getting. And the risk level on my end is next to zero. I mean, $49, come on. For 3 months, it's you know, divide that by four for a full-time employee if you get a 10 hours per week. If you do the math, I'm going to give you a link here in just a moment, or I'm going to show one and then verbally say it, where you can go and your first apprentice will come at the equivalent if you get the 10 hours a week out of them, which I can help you with how to preframe your calls to make sure that you're screening for the right people. I've really put together a full strategy for this outside of what Mo, I will definitely pass it by you to make sure it's on the up and up for you. I'm always respectful of your business. But the equivalent hourly rate comes to $1.04 an hour when you use the link I'm about to give you. $1.04 an hour. For someone who already has a specific skill set, they just need additional training, and some just want to go off and do it themselves. They just want the direction, and you know, so all you have to do as a business owner is talk to them once a week for 30 minutes. And I said, I was talking to Jessica. I said, Jessica, if you don't mind, I'm going to up that to at least an hour, because besides just giving you feedback on the tasks, I want to help mentor you, train you, and coach you in any way that comes up. Would you be okay with that? She said, absolutely. And it's really worked out wonderfully that way. We never finish under an hour. It's always an hour 10, hour 15. I just love helping people, and I'm getting what I need. I get the help. She's getting the experience, and she's getting coaching and mentoring, which I threw in as an added bonus. But please, all of you business owners, teach, coach, and mentor these young, eager, wonderful people, because they're the future of our world, right? They're the future, and they're getting what a jump start because of Mo and Jen M that they are getting that they would not have had.
Well, that's not it's you, man. You're a gentleman and a scholar, and it's honestly, it's businesses like you that enable all this to really work.
Yeah, and I think you developed that culture that attracted that, honestly, because I mean, immediately things were popping off in my head when I first learned of Jen M. I couldn't dig deep enough into the website. I wanted more. What else? This is amazing. No way. This can't be true. And every single person, I have lots of contacts, entrepreneur contacts. Every one of them says, I just fell out of my chair. You know, when I get through explaining it to them, they go, are you kidding? Is this real? I said, yeah, it's actually real. I'm using it. I'm a product of the product, and it's phenomenal. So I do want to ask you one more question. We're coming up to the end of our show. My gosh, I can't believe it already. And Mo, I want to give you one more question, and it's one that I've asked every entrepreneur that's come across on this show to date. And so far, I imagine it will at some point come true, but so far, there's not been the same answer twice. And so you are not pressured or feeling like nervous or anything about it. There is no wrong answer. There is not. The only right answer is your answer. And I can't wait to ask you that. But before we do that, I want to give the folks watching and listening the means for providing for accessing this incredible service. And so for those of you watching, it's on your screen now. There's two ways. The easiest would probably be to text the word apprentice to the number 661-535-1624. That's apprentice with two P's to 661-535-1624. Or you can go directly to the URL on the screen, apprentice.reachyourpeakllc.com, and you'll get instant notification. You'll get the link to go check this out and dig in, get questions. We could go on all day and all night and every day in between on this, Mo. The thing I love about Mo's company is his team also vets every single business owner to ensure that they have what would bring value to their prospective apprentices. And I really appreciated that, the fact that you guys went to that extra mile. So every one of you that signs up using that link will get schedule a link to talk and onboard and see if you're a fit. Because not everybody will be. I hope not. I hope that some are turned away. I can only imagine. That keeps the quality up high. It gets the apprentices. Nobody's time's wasted. And on the flip side, you didn't mention it much, Mo. You kind of touched on it, but the apprentices get included. They get all this training, all these training modules. And I actually asked Mo, I said, hey, I want to access this. I want to see what they're learning. Because so far what I've heard, the feedback I've gotten personally, is they love it. They think it's really high quality. And she has actually referenced the training when we talk. And as a business owner, this is so different from employer-employee relationship. I want to make that very clear. I said from day one to Jessica, I said, I just want you to know that you don't work for me. You work with me. We are together. We're a team. I'm going to help you. You're going to help me. I'm not this, you know, taskmaster with a whip saying you shall do this or else. No. In fact, I actually ask her every time, every task that comes up, and I'll share this on my exclusive webinar for those that sign up, that her tasks are they're not based on just being tasks. In other words, I have things I need to get done. But they might not be what she is interested in advancing in, if that makes sense. So if I have a task that's marketing-based, but she says, I really would rather do something along this line. Okay, cool. I don't say, I want you to do this task. You have to do this task. I'm your employer. It's not that way for me. It's like, give her value. Give them value. Give him value if it's a male apprentice. And say, look, this is my idea. This is how I think it could help you going forward. If it's a fit, great. If you want to run with it, great. Let's do that. Let's schedule it out and let's make that happen. If not, that's perfectly fine too. I'm flexible. And so I just wanted to impart those. I'm sorry, I'm going way too long there, Mo, but I got passionate again, just like we did when we talked last time. I appreciate what you're doing. Do you have anything you wanted to add to that real quick?
Yeah. Like you said, we chat with every business. It's a quick 5-minute phone call. You can book it directly from the website or actually just text apprentice to the number you just shared and to see if it's a fit for your business. If it is, there's no better value out there. It's a fantastic experience. It's a modern day apprenticeship. It's like you're working with somebody who really cares about your business. That's why they're there. They're there for the experience of working with you. They chose you. They actually have a lot of inbounds. Students got a lot of inbounds from businesses on the platform. And, you know, if they pick you, it's because they want to work with you and they believe in what you're doing. And they want to learn from you. And they're hungry students. They're younger, you know, they're looking for that experience. And you can change somebody's life while getting a ton of value. And that's the beautiful part about it.
Yes.
We have a referral system as well, where if you refer somebody, you get a $25 credit on your account. And if you refer three people, you get a free apprentice. You get a free credit for an apprentice. And if you refer 9 people, you get lifetime free access to GenM. So you can get help with your business forever without paying anything ever, including when we roll out some more significant features in the future.
So this is my mic, and I'm going to do a mic drop. Wow, that's the part where all of my buddies fall out of their chairs. They're like, it's already such an affordable and no-brainer type of service. But then to say, well, you can earn it for free with just 9 referrals. I'm like, wow, amazing. So definitely check out that link that I put up earlier. And, you know, if you can't find it and you're watching this as a recording, go ahead and reach out to me personally. I'll send it to you directly. Not a big deal. So I wanted to end this show with that big question, Mo. You know, there's always a drum roll before this. And I know your answer is going to be just as powerful and impactful as everyone else's because it's yours. It's solely only about you, because, and that makes it the right answer, no matter what. And so what I wanted to end the show with for this last question was, Mo Abbas, how do you personally define success?
Competing and winning.
And straight and to the point, competing and winning. All right.
I thought about that for a long time in the past. And like, for example, if sports is an obvious one, right? How do you succeed in sports? Well, you got to compete. You're going to win. But this isn't always against an external force. It could be within yourself, right? How do you succeed in the gym, right? So you compete with yourself. My last, you know, my the best that Mo Abbas did was on August 3rd and it was like, you know, 10 reps for 50 pounds or whatever. Today, I'm going to beat that best. I'm going to compete with that Moa Bass, and I'm going to beat that Moa Bass, right? You know, so that's it can be in any domain. It does not matter. You know, you can be compete and win as a cook. You know, you can compete and win in piano. Every day, I have my app gives me a score, so I'm trying to get 3 stars. It's not easy. Yeah, jiu-jitsu, compete and win. Business, compete and win. You know, obviously, there's a graceful way to compete. And I don't mean like just, you know, compete. Like it's for me, it's a competition. It's almost like a sacred thing. I take it very serious. It's a very honorable thing. You can be very gracious in how you compete. But ultimately, you know, you are successful, in my opinion. And, you know, again, I can compete with other guys on salary, how much money I make, they make, and that's like status or whatever, you know, whatever it may be. But it's also specific to domains. So if you can compete in multiple domains and win, you have a higher general success level. You can compete, you know, in how much money you make and how fit you are, and, you know, how disciplined you are, which actually drives a lot of other things. So that's how you become successful. You need to compete as an entrepreneur. I can't stress this enough. You will not win if you don't consciously go out there with the mentality of winning.
That sounded like an excellent book title by Mo Abbas, coming up soon at Barnes & Noble, Chapters, and Amazon. Look for it. Just like everyone before, there was another difference. Was there's one thing you did not say, and neither did any of the previous ones. At least it wasn't your primary reason, which was, you know, how do you define success? Some that are less, I would say, mature in their walk with entrepreneurship might say something completely different, and that would be, you know, to basically make enough money for freedom. It would be money centric, in other words. And no. Yours was couldn't be farther. It was competing and winning, and you know, making more money than someone else might be an element of competition, but it's not the core reason behind what you define as success. And that's what I love about that is every single entrepreneur is the same exact way, competing and winning. And for the purpose of what? For the purpose of serving people, for making a difference.
Lives. Like I got to achieve my mission in Gen M. We got to create this free education system, right? Which means we got to win, which means like we got to beat the traditional education system. I got to compete against them. And they're overpriced hustles, you know, and that drives towards my overarching, you know, life goals of, you know, creating a legacy, let's say.
And just a final thought I wanted to share was, you know, Mo, you and I talked about a week ago for an hour or so. And one of the things that leaped off of the screen, because it was a Zoom call, was your integrity and the fact you had that mentality of we're going to win, but we're not going to win for Mo. We're going to win for everybody involved. We're going to win for the business owners. We're going to win for the apprentices. And that was so evident and so it was just unscripted. It was raw. It was you. And that's what I appreciate about you. That's what I appreciate about Gen M, because you are a co-founder and leader, a CEO of Gen M. So, you know, that mission, that mentality flows down, thankfully, because that's your mission, your mentality. And so I wanted to end by saying thank you for putting this together from my vantage point. And also I want to thank you on behalf of those apprentices, because I know Jessica, for one, is really happy that this came in front of her, that this was an opportunity for her to start expanding her knowledge base, her experience base, and help her to succeed in life faster than going the traditional methods. So thank you, Mo Abbas. You are an amazing man.
Thank you, Ryan. Good to chat with you and the community. And looking forward to big things in the future.
Me too, my friend. Me too. All right. With that, we will say good night. This has been a special edition of the Mind Body Business Show. I'm Brian Kelly. That is Mo Abbas. And we will see you again next time. Blessings to all.
Thank you for watching and listening. This has been the Mind Body Business Show with Brian Kelly.